Amen. Prayer of faith shall save the sick. Amen. That's the anointing released. Somebody else. A question you've always wanted to ask that you never did. Well, you're an easy class. You're an easy class. You've never had a question in your life that no one's ever been able to answer when it comes to Jesus? Jesus? See? I can't even count that many, to be honest with you. I never counted how many people got saved under our ministry. I did keep a diary for 3 years of all the miracles and the healings. And there were more than I can actually remember. It's really cool when you go back and reread some of them. Because, I mean, just amazing miracles. I mean, literally. Just some of my favorites are the multiple sclerosis one where the lady's leg, her foot, there was no feeling left and there was no motion or movement. This was in Dallas, Pennsylvania. I laid hands on her in the name of Jesus, and all the feeling came back to her foot. She could walk normal. She had no more issues, and she was completely healed. There was another person in Dallas, Pennsylvania. He was a little boy. I think he was like 8 or 9 years old, had a brain tumor, and they were getting ready to operate within that week. And we sent a prayer cloth, actually, we'll be getting into that in a little bit, sent a prayer cloth, they put it on his head, released the power of God, they went back to take pictures, and the tumor was gone. We had a lady in our church, a young lady, she was 17 years old, went to Horseheads High School, she had a brain tumor in the front lobe of her brain, and she was on her way down to Pittsburgh. We laid hands on her in the name of Jesus. When she got to Pittsburgh, the brain tumor was absolutely gone. We've seen so many tumors, so many miracles, so many healings. It is so exciting, but we try to make it because it's a special person. You're that special person. You're the ones that when you start to actually believe who you are, you'll start doing these things. It's normal. The supernatural is normal. The supernatural is not abnormal. The supernatural is normal. So, I don't remember why I was drinking the water. Does anybody else remember? Huh? Oh, yeah. Here we go. Getting refilled. So this was full. Are we up? This was full. So I drank half of it. How many of you know that that's now half full? Or half full or half empty? Yeah. Like, depending on, yeah. Why would you do that? No, I'm just teasing. Here we go. So here's my point. The Bible says that when they were anointed of the Holy Spirit, when the Spirit of God came on, they were baptized in the Holy Ghost. Peter preached, and that day 3,000 men got saved. But something happened in Acts chapter 4. The Bible says in verse 27, "For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together to do whatever your hand, your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats. Grant to your servants," he's talking about the people after Jesus' resurrection, these are the disciples, "and with all boldness that may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and your signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak the word of God with boldness." So in Acts chapter 2, they were filled, but they got used up a little. So in Acts chapter 4, they were refilled. Listen, when you get baptized with the Holy Ghost, when the Holy Spirit began to speak with other tongues, you don't want to just let that be a one-time experience. This is a normal experience. That is your prayer language, stirring up the gift of God that he gave you by the laying on of hands. We know that when you're praying in tongues, you're praying in unknown, you're praying in spiritual principles, and you're releasing the power of God. You're stirring up that gift. That's that churning, that dynamo inside of you. You need to pray in the Spirit often and always. And if you're not baptized in the Holy Ghost, speak with other tongues. Pastor Chad and Brother Randall are going to pray with you right after class. Amen? So the Bible says that's one thing. You want to speak in other tongues. Speak in tongues often and always. 1 Corinthians 14:2, speak in divine secrets. 14:4, you encourage yourself. Jude chapter 20, you build up yourself in the most holy faith. You need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Here we go. You need to learn how to practice. Amen? Practice in the gifts. I love this because I remember I was in northern Maine. I was in, what was the name? Where was Uncle Eddie again? No, in the town he was, Skowhegan, Maine. I was in Skowhegan, Maine, and I was teaching this. This was a three-day sermon series, actually, that I love to preach when I go to churches. And I was preaching them how to release the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And I said, now you need to go home and lay hands on everything that moves. So the lady came in the next night. She was so excited. Her cat was so sick, she thought she was going to have to take the cat to the vet. But she laid hands on that cat in the name of Jesus, released the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and God healed her cat. I've seen cats healed. I've seen dogs healed. I've seen horses healed. I've seen people healed. I've seen a car healed. Listen, God can do all things. Amen? But it happens through a servant. God's plan is to use you. And that anointing that abides within you, you need to increase that anointing. So you need to get baptized in the Holy Ghost. Speak with other tongues. Glory to God. Can I hear an amen? Amen. And then you need to practice. Practice. Start learning how to flow in the anointing. Start learning how to pray and release the anointing. You know, when I was in Bible school, when an evangelist would come in, I would very rarely hear their sermon. What I did was I actually kept a notebook and I studied them. I listened how they prayed. I listened how they released the anointing. I listened and learned how they laid hands on people. Now, you know Brother Ted Shuttlesworth. Brother Ted, I have studied Brother Ted for decades. One thing you watch when you start watching Brother Ted is when the anointing comes on Brother Ted, one of his eyes droops. The very first sign the anointing's on him. Now, he's already anointed, but when the anointing really starts flowing through him, I automatically watch his eyes. And when his eyes begins to droop, I always say, hang on for the ride. It's only going to get gooder. It's my own word. Yeah, it's my word. You can borrow it, but yeah, it's a really good one. And so I watch him, and then you watch him start moving in the power of God. And there is a confidence in the anointing. But you need to know that he didn't start off with that. He started off learning in the anointing. That means sometimes making a mistake. That sometimes means praying for somebody and nothing seems to happen. But your willingness to step out and be used by God will increase that anointing in your life. So there's a need to increase the anointing. And the way you increase the anointing, number one, be baptized in the Holy Ghost, speak with other tongues. Number two, practice. Find people that are sick. Do you know how many sick people that you're going to see healed if you never pray for them? None. What are you going to lose? What happens if they don't get healed? Are they any better? No, are they any worse? You win. What happens if you lay a hand for them and all of a sudden the anointing releases? You literally feel the anointing go out of you. They get healed right there. Was it worth praying for them? Absolutely. You see, this is the powerful part about saints. We have become intimidated by people. We've become intimidated by our own fear of people not liking us or something not working. And you got to get out of yourself. You got to be willing to step out on nothing to land on something. That's called I walk by faith and not by sight. So that means the more you pray for people, the more you'll learn how to flow in that anointing. The more you'll learn as you practice how to release the power of God in someone's life. Now listen now, for who I am right now after 30 years of ministry, I'll step into like I did down, just like I said, just down in Mexico. And I didn't feel anything special on me. I didn't feel like this blanket of heaven come upon my body. No, I just know the anointing abides within. I walked up to that woman with arthritis. I walked up to the next person that was standing there who had sickness. I walked over to the next person who had sickness. And I said, in the name of Jesus, I declare that sickness has no right. And I released the anointing. And I felt the power of God go out. And when I felt the power of God go out, I said, now I want you to test it. How do you feel any pain? This one woman, she was getting ready to go into an operation because she has such large kidney stones that she was in agonizing pain consistently. Right there at the altar, I declared it. I didn't even lay hands on her kidneys. All I have to do to speak to the situation to release the anointing. And she was healed right there. There was no more pressure. There was no more pain. And she was healed right there. How is that possible? You're the preacher. No, I'm the Son of God. Who are you? You're a child of God. Does God love me more than you? No. It's the same Holy Spirit in me that's in you. Whoa. Then what can't you do? That's right. So the issue is not that God won't flow through you. The issue is, will you let God flow through you? Will you do work on behalf of heaven? That's what the anointing is for, to do work on behalf of heaven, so that you'll have supernatural exploits that God will be blessed. I love this verse in Matthew chapter 10, 7 and 8. And as you go, he was sending out the 70. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. As freely as you've received, freely give. I love that verse. You want to know why? The disciples went out, healed the sick, raised the dead, cast out devils, opened blind eyes. They did all these supernatural exploits, and the anointing did not live in them, only came upon them. Greater work shall you do, Jesus said. We also know that Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6 says that Jesus is a mediator of a new and a better covenant with better promises. So in Matthew, these guys went out. Jesus gave them authority to cast out devils. That means the anointing came upon them. Remember Old Testament. The anointing came upon them, did not dwell in them. If God will use the disciples where the anointing came upon them, but did not dwell in them in this capacity, what will he use you for if you allow him to work through you? But if you never allow work to happen through you. Now, my sister went to work for my father one summer, my sister Kimmy. And Kimmy, she's a strong girl. But after a summer working with my father doing construction, I became a tad bit afraid of my sister. Because she had been throwing around 2x10s, throwing around different tools and helping my father work. She was exercising her muscles. When you exercise your muscles, what happens to them? They get stronger and they grow. And you learn how to use your muscles. Cody came into work this morning. Pastor Cody came into work this morning. Standing there, I was talking to the staff, and he's like this, and he's in pain. I said, what are you in pain for? Did you hurt yourself? He said, I did a new exercise with my back today. It's not bad pain. It's just that I worked that muscle that I've not worked in that way before, and I feel bad. I says, well, that's just not smart. And he goes, no, I need to build that side of the muscle. You need to build your muscle. In your spirit, you need to learn how to move in the anointing. And that means you have to practice. Amen? Now, if I bought you a brand new Lamborghini, how many of you wouldn't mind a Lamborghini? Amen. Glory to Jesus. Bought you a brand new Lamborghini. Amen. It's Jesus. And I filled it with high-octane gasoline, because you're not going to put 87 in a Lamborghini. Highest octane that you can get, put it in the Lamborghini. And then you took the Lamborghini and you parked it out behind your barn. What good is that Lamborghini? It's outside. It's going to get rained on. The mice are going to infest it. Nothing's going to happen. The gasoline, because of the gasoline we have now, is going to separate. The ethanol is going to get into your engine. You're going to get a clear varnish over your engine. And what's going to happen to the Lamborghini? But what's a Lamborghini made for? A Lamborghini is made to race. A Lamborghini is made not to stay in first gear, but to open up so that as you drive down that road, it is like a bat out of heaven. I mean, it is fast. You feel the G's as you're going in this Lamborghini. It is a powerful machine made to work. And when it does not work, it dilapidates. You were made to work. You are the best that God has made. You are filled with the Holy Ghost and with power. Why park yourself behind the barn? Why park yourself behind the barn? So turn to someone and say, I'm a Lamborghini. Amen. You're Mercedes? I like Mercedes. Amen. The more you give of the anointing, the more you increase in the anointing. So this is what I'm going to do tonight. We're going to end here. 7:45, you have a record. No, I am. I am ending. The reason I'm ending is because next week, I need to take the time to teach you how to release the anointing, and then we're going to practice. If I do this now, we won't be out of here till 8:45. So this last portion of this chapter, we're going to practice. So next week, I'm going to teach you how to release the anointing, and then we're going to practice. Okay? We're going to teach to get the anointing. Where's the anointing? In you. In your spirit. We're going to teach you to get the anointing out of here and through here, elementary school, laying hands on the sick, so that the power of God, you can learn how to go through elementary school to release the anointing of the Spirit to change people's lives. Is that fair? Nothing is more fun than grabbing somebody, releasing the anointing, and they go like this. Because they feel God. It's so much fun. But if you never practice, it will never work. So next week, we're not only going to teach you all the different ways to release the anointing, because there's many different ways to release the anointing, but then we're going to get you to practice with the elementary principle of the laying on of hands. So that's next week. Is that fair? If you're watching by live stream and you normally don't come to class, you need to be in class next week. Because next week, you need to learn this. Now, I can release the anointing right through that television screen or your computer screen. But you see, you need to learn how to practice. You need to get here next week, 7 p.m. What is it called? It's called Step 1, Rock Solid Faith. Be here so that God can move in your life. Yeah, I know. I'm having a problem. So, does anybody have a question concerning that? This week is very powerful. I want to remind you that this week is Rock the City. It starts Thursday night. If you have not signed up to work, what was that? If you've not signed up to, what was that? What? If you have not signed up to, what would you do with that anointing? You would sign up to what? Work. If you're not signed up to work, then my question is, then what are you going to do with the anointing on our soul winning weekend? You need to release the anointing. That means you need to be working. So you need to see Pastor Chad. That's him right there. Stand up, wave at everybody. Pastor Chad. Also, I want to remind you that that we need to give some more. We're excited as we have this opportunity to sow into Rock the City. We need a little bit more. And so I'm believing to do it debt-free. How many of you believe God for debt-free? I don't want to go into debt doing an outreach for Jesus. And so if you've obeyed God already, awesome. If you have not yet obeyed God in giving to Rock Solid Faith and the number he has given you, then you need to obey the Lord in what he has put on your heart. If you say God has put nothing on your heart for Rock the City, you know that you don't hear God. Because God's passion is soul winning. And so God would not, who's the provider of the seed? God is the provider of the seed. God gives you seed to sow. So you want to make sure that you're sowing to Rock the City. Maybe you didn't bring it tonight. You want to text it in. You can text it or give right online, right on the app. If you have an iPhone, glory to God, Brother Brad. He just got an iPhone. He came over to the good side. Hallelujah. You can give right online. I'm sorry. You can give right online. Whether if you have an Android, just go to the Mobi account, histabernacle.mobi. For His Tabernacle, you can actually go on the His Tabernacle app. It's His Tab New York or NY, and you can download the app and give right on there too. But I'm believing the Lord that we're not going to have one penny of debt going into this. And at this point, we are short. So you know what that always tells me? That everyone hasn't obeyed God, because if everyone obeys God, then there's nothing lacking. Amen. So if you're saying God hasn't put anything in your heart, you need to go back to prayer. Whatever it is, praise the Lord. If it's $5, it's $5. $500, $500, it's $10,000. $10,000. If it's $550,000, that's okay too. You just got to obey God. That's the issue. Every saint has to obey God in giving, and that will always posture you. Listen, there's no greater thing than at the end of this thing, you can say, I sowed to all these souls that were born again. So we've been running commercials on WETM this week. You saw it? Running commercials, and it's Alan's voice. Running commercial. Oh, by the way, if you're watching by live stream, don't get away now. Did they already get out, Chad? If you're watching by live stream, you need to make sure that you're giving too. Amen. $10,000 check. Praise the Lord. You know what's really cool is we just got a letter this week, and I haven't shared this with many people. We just got a letter from Southport Prison. And Southport Prison, I shared about what's going on with Rock the City. And this man that's been in jail, I believe it's 23 years is what the letter says. He's been incarcerated 23 years, has been saving his money to buy a Bible. And when he saw this online, he said, I've got to give. And he actually sent a $25 check to his Tabernacle Family Church for Rock the City because he wants to participate. And he said, I'm going to be part of the generous campaign. I'm going to give another $10 a month until I've given $100. That's a man in prison. And we have folks in this house that don't give a dime. Yeah, they make 23 cents an hour. It's horrible. But he wants to sow because he wants to be part of. So today I want to challenge you to be a sower. Now, a lot of people say, well, all you do is talk about money. Listen, if the money's going into my pocket, you've got something to complain about. But I'm not seeing a dime more in my pocket. And I'm not taking a dime. Every dime goes to winning souls. It's about souls. It's about you and I gaining an account. And that is, I can't wait to get to heaven. And someone says, because you gave, I'm in heaven. And that's exciting to me. Amen? So I want to remind you to give. Lord, bless this offering in the name of Jesus. I pray that you'll speak to every single person. If they've already given, if you want them to give more, speak to them another amount that God they may give. Everybody online, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray for $10,000, $15,000, $20,000. Lord, we'll never have too much because there's always more we can do for you and your kingdom. So place it on our hearts, Lord, what you would have us to give for the glory of heaven. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Here's the offering.